Blog Talk Radio.
Program. One of the last remaining, as I'm looking down the schedule, at least in this regular season. Because I'm mapping it out here this afternoon, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, well, let's see, we've got today, it's September 15, and then we only got two more thereafter that'll technically be in the regular season, and then it's on to postseason. And this particular program this evening is going to be very, well, let's get it straight, postseason centric. Because really, when it comes right down to it, I kind of brought it up a little bit on my Frat House Saturday program. There is drama, make no mistake about it, and where there is drama in baseball, it's greatly enhanced. But it all revolves around basically now just a handful of teams. And most of those seem to be at least in the American League. Well, now, some might argue, Caleb might argue that, well, no, let's not forget, Pittsburgh still might win that NL Central outright. Well, we're going to get into all of that. We're going to get into a lot of I guess what we're basically doing is a little bit of prognosticating. As we're going to try to break it down and take a look at just about every single possible scenario as we sit here now, I guess for most teams, with about less than 20 games remaining in the regular season. And to do that, I got to get a couple of good buddies of mine in here. Oh, actually, I'm going to tell you right now, a couple of guys who said that they were thrilled to be coming on and getting on here tonight and talking baseball because, hey, they want to get away from talking about that other sport. You know, the one that started this past week and everybody's talking about, what's that thing called? Something played in the, it's played in the fall. Football. Nick Mandarato, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Fred? How's Mike?
All right, you're all set? You're all set to talk a lot of baseball here tonight. We're going to break it down. We're going to turn it upside down. Turn it inside out, and we'll try to put it back together again as we take a look at the playoffs. And we'll try to stay away from talking any of that other sport at all. Albeit, I would like to get into it. Maybe I'll have to save this for maybe Thursday night. Maybe I get Nick Swartz along with me on Thursday night on our Frat House Sports Show to talk a little of that other sport. I don't know. Hey, you up for doing a little bit of that there, Swartzy?
Yeah, I just need like a day or two before I can talk about that sport. I'm in like a somewhat mourning state and just focusing on the fact
that my Yankees are
going for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I'll leave you alone here for this evening. Maybe by Thursday, as we're looking into week two of the NFL season, perhaps maybe you'll be feeling a little better about things at that point. See, your big mistake was you drank the green Kool-Aid. That was your biggest problem. Ah, see. Hey, that's where age comes in. That's where my age comes in. See, I don't do that anymore.
I'm not going to let you bait me into this one. I'm all about baseball again, buddy. Yeah, I'm not going to take the bait. I don't know
good.
What.
Good
no
for
Kool-Aid.
You.
I'm no Kool-Aid for me.
Good for you. Good for you. If anybody wants to jump in with us here, and we are only going to talk baseball. There it is. We're only going to talk baseball tonight. 347-826-9964. That's always how you can get a hold of Frat House Sports. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, jump in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio. This has got to be a new record. We've actually gone through about a half a week with everything seemingly operating properly here at Blog Talk Radio. Or if you are on, if you're listening on a computer and you are Skype capable, just hit our little hit that little Skype button should put you through to us loud and clear. Otherwise, you can hit me up on Twitter at Frathouse Mike, and momentarily I will be putting out our MLB poll question for this evening over on Twitter. But let's do this real quick. Let's get around, and I'm going to borrow Caleb's sports machine, who could not be here this evening, but I'm going to borrow his machine here.
Tonight, through the use of the sports machine.
Yeah, we'll get around and take a look at what's going on live in Major League Baseball. Hey, we have a final. This is actually kind of a big one. Cubs needed to really, I guess, they're playing on the road. They were in Pittsburgh. Both teams kind of would, I guess the Cubs don't need it as much. They're going to get that wild card. That's what we're going to end up talking about here this evening. But the Pirates, who we'll be talking about here momentarily, Caleb still seems to think, hey, they can pull ahead of St. Louis and win that division. The Pirates did what they had to do. They won at home today against the Cubs. Final in that one, 5-4, Pirates beat the Chicago Cubs. Kicking off here any minute now. 7:05 start. Boston Red Sox are away in Baltimore. They're playing the Baltimore Orioles. Already now in the top of the first. Washington Nationals are down at Citizens Bank Park. They're playing the Philadelphia Phillies. I guess, there's a doubleheader. How about that? Pittsburgh's got a doubleheader. They must have had a game that they're trying to make up. So that early game is a final, and this will be the second game of the doubleheader. They got a 7:05 start against the Cubs again. So we'll keep track of that one. You're going to hear about it. That's got implications. 7:10 start. We got the Kansas City Royals away at the Cleveland Indians. 7:10. Toronto Blue Jays are in Atlanta playing the Braves. 7:10. Miami Marlins are up in New York playing the Mets. We'll talk about the Mets here momentarily, although there's really not much more to talk about there, I don't think, much longer. Tampa Bay Rays are hosting the New York Yankees, 7:10 as well, down in Tampa. And that still has some major implications as well over in the AL East. I don't know. At this point, there's probably not much point in really continuing to beat the power rankings to death. There's nothing to it. Although, look at the Washington Nationals continue to fall, according to the USA Today power rankings. They're now in 14th spot. Biggest mover downward. They had a change of three spots from 11 to 14. So Washington Nationals now in free fall. New York Mets, what are they, 9-1 in their last 10, guys? I think they're 9-1 in their last 10. New York Mets, biggest mover upward. Winners of their last 8, 9-1, as I just pointed out, in their last 10, now sit on the power rankings in the number 5 spot. But let's get into it. And look, we're going to take our time with it. And I'm serious. Because there really isn't, as I pointed out, the storylines are compelling, but there's not a lot of them. And there's not it's not like we have a whole lot of stuff here. Because for the vast majority of teams, they're all just basically playing it out. There's only a handful of teams that are really, really in contention any longer. The easier one to talk about to start off with. Let's go to the National League. The Pittsburgh Pirates are only 2 games out of the lead there in the Central. And this is the only one I think that is of any consequence at all. Because, look, the Mets are going to win the NL East. They're 9.5 games over Washington. As we pointed out, Washington's in free fall. St. Louis, we've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it, as Nick pointed out even last week. it seems like every week since probably the All-Star break, the Central Division. It's St. Louis, it's Pittsburgh, it's Chicago. Chicago is leading right there for the wild card team. Whoever's going to be the second one in that division is going to be the second wild card. And over in the West, it's the Dodgers, and only the Dodgers are 7.5 games in front of San Fran. But let's go to this contention that Caleb has with regard to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Let me do this to keep things clear. If I go Nick, if I say Nick S, that means of course Nick Swartz. If I go just Nick, that means Frat House Nick. So Nick, what do you make of Caleb's contention? I mean, certainly, I suppose I don't have the schedules up. I'm going to go pull. Wait, I actually have Pittsburgh's schedule up. I will go pull up St. Louis's schedule, but we can look at this game by game for the remainder and see whether this is really do. But let's go this way. How about your gut feeling, Nick, on this one? Gut feeling on Pittsburgh?
My gut feeling, they picked up 2.5 games since the last time we talked. Same deal as last week, though. The Cardinals just haven't looked great recently, and Pittsburgh is playing like they've been playing all year, maybe even a little bit better. Unless the Cardinals turn things around, Pittsburgh's right there. But gut feeling, I still like the Cardinals in this division. I think it, even if Pittsburgh pulls ahead, it's not like they're going to pull ahead and blow them away real quick. If they pull ahead, it's only going to be by a couple games. The Cardinals are still right there. It boggles my mind that the Cardinals, who, in my opinion, are hands down the best team in the league, might be in a situation where they have to have a one-game playoff just to get into the playoffs. But again, Pittsburgh, right there, the Cardinals got to do something. They got to turn things around. They're 3-7 in their last 10. It's not looking too great at all, really, for the Cardinals. And it's not like they're playing fantastic teams. These losses aren't coming against Pittsburgh and Chicago. It's coming against Cincinnati. They lost last night 9-2. Gut feeling, though, really for no reason other than I just feel it and I like them and I like what they have, I still will lean towards the Cardinals just a little bit because I find it hard to believe they're going to play this way for the rest of the season.
Let's take a look here at the Pittsburgh schedule. Let's start there. Let's look at the Pittsburgh schedule. As I just pointed out, Pittsburgh's playing a doubleheader today. The second game's going to be getting underway. They've already won the first one against the Cubs. They've got three more games here through Thursday with the Cubs. They're going to go on the road. They're going to play the Dodgers for three. They're going to stay out west. They're going to play Colorado for four. And they're going to stay on the road right through the 25th to the 27th of the month. They're going to be in Chicago. They will come home to close out the season. Three games against the Cardinals. Oh, isn't that sweet? And then finally, three games against the Reds. So if we were to handicap this, they got the Cubs. That's no slouch. The Dodgers, no slouch, playing the NL Western Division leaders. Colorado, then they're going to come back. They're going to play the Cubs in Chicago. They're going to play the Cardinals in Pittsburgh. And Cincinnati in Pittsburgh. That's a pretty tough schedule. That's just the way I read it. That's a pretty tough schedule. Now, you go over to St. Louis. Three games right now on the road. They got three games in Milwaukee starting tonight. Three games immediately following that on the road in Chicago. Then they'll come home. They've got three against the Reds. Still at home, they've got four against the Brewers. That takes them to the 27th. They go on the road to Pittsburgh, as I just pointed out, for those three games that close out the month of September. And their final series will be three games on the road in Atlanta. I give the strength of schedule, at least to the ease of schedule. How about that? I'll go ease of schedule. I give it to St. Louis. Nick S., what do you think?
Yeah, while you were you guys were talking, I was looking up the schedules, and I went to St. Louis first just by chance, and I ran down looking at their schedule, and I thought, you know, that looks like a decent schedule for the Cardinals. But what Nick pointed out, you know, it's not like the Cardinals are losing to great teams. So on paper, the Cardinals remaining schedule doesn't look all that difficult. The Pirates seem to me that they have the most difficult, and they don't play that well recently. You know, during the course of the season so far, they really haven't played that well in division. Other than Colorado, their schedule looks pretty tough. The Pirates, yep. You know, their schedule looks pretty tough towards the end. So, if I was looking at it, I would say easiest schedule, you know, St. Louis, you know, then Chicago, and then the Pirates having the most difficult. In games at Colorado, it's not like you're playing Colorado at home. Colorado is a different team. I watch a lot of Colorado games. Colorado is a different team there. It's crazy. You'll look at lines and games and stuff, and the Colorado's offense just seems to like go to sleep on the road. They come home, they're putting up 10 runs a night. No lead is safe, and it's not like the Pirates have the best pitching staff in baseball, and even the best pitchers get lit up at Colorado. So I think that the entire rest remaining schedule for the Pirates looks tough.
What's your gut feeling, Nick S? What do you think?
I was going to say just St. Louis, and it's probably not like the cop out or, you know, to jump on the bandwagon, but St. Louis has that pedigree, and they've proven that they can win in previous years with guys banged up, and they continue to win. They switch managers, they win, they always win. The one thing that does concern me is that how good their division is, and the two teams chasing them are decent. I don't think that they're as good as the Cardinals, and my gut feeling is St. Louis wins. Great reasoning other than I think they're better and they always win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might agree. I mean, as much as I think it would be kind of neat. With all due respect, I don't have any dog in this fight. Okay. So,
yeah.
It would be kind of neat to see Pittsburgh win it. I guess if for no other reason than just because, you know, St. Louis has won it so many times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb has been forcing the Pirates down our throats all season long. As much as I might like to say that, I don't see it happening. It doesn't look good in the cards. Pardon the pun. The cards of the schedule. Let's put it that way. It's not looking that way. I mean, I just have to give the benefit to the Cardinals' schedule. All right, now I've saved the best for last year. Let's jump up to the American League, and let's stay away from the East for a moment because we've got something that's bigger happening right now out in the AL West, and that's the Houston Texans Astros and the Texas Rangers. Texas. 6-4 in their last 10. They've won two in a row now. The Texans are now only a half game out of first place with the Houston Astros. And some are actually saying, and this is another one where I'm going to have to pull the schedules up and start looking at them here, and I apologize. I didn't get the time in advance of the program to actually do that and have all this analysis ready to go. But I'll pull up those schedules here in a moment. There's been an awful lot of rumblings and chatter out there over blog sites, over even on Major League Baseball, USA Today, hyping the fact that this is a Texas team that really seems to be storming out here now, and Houston better buckle that chin straps a little tighter here because this could get bumpy in the next 2 weeks here. Of the two most compelling battles we've got going on, obviously the one going on in the AL East and what's going on right now down in the AL West, which one's got your attention more? To me, the AL West, I think, has suddenly captured everybody's attention now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's tighter in terms of games, obviously. I feel like a lot of this change, this turn in attention is because of the Blue Jays-Yankees series we just saw. And it was after the first game in that series when the Blue Jays beat the Yankees. I actually, two of my roommates here are big Yankees fans. One's from the Bronx, or no, he's from Brooklyn, or Queens, and the other one is from Syracuse. So from New York, they're big Yankees fans, and they're watching the game, and they're getting frustrated, and I just tell them, look, the Blue Jays are just simply a better team than the Yankees. You know, the Yankees are hanging around, but the Blue Jays are just a better team than they are, and I think you saw that in the last series, and it kind of diminished from the excitement and the suspense, because although it's tight in the standings, we realize that even if the Yankees are right there, they're not better than the Blue Jays. Hands down, they're not better than the Blue Jays. We turn to the AL West. We look at a division that was Astros, Angels for the first half of the season. Now the Rangers are coming up. They're fighting through. They're only a half game back of this Astros team that's been just hanging on by a thread for most of the season. A lot of people want to see them get in because, you know, it's the Astros. This team was awful. They lost 100 games not that long ago. Now you've got the Rangers making this push out of nowhere. The Angels have fallen off. Now they're kind of scratching back a little bit. They're there, but not entirely. I like the AL West. I think it's a more compelling race. Like I said, I feel like the AL East, those two teams, you know which one's better. In the AL West, the Rangers, out of nowhere, could be leading the division by the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, again, the Angels, they're not quite there, but they're not too far back. They're 4.5 out. So you got more teams competing in this division. You've got a more compelling story in this division. And when you look at these three teams, the Astros, the Rangers, the Angels, I can't tell you which one's the best. I would love to see Mike Trout and Albert Pujols in the playoffs. I'd love to see them on that big stage. They got the star power. The Astros have pitching. They've got the young guys. The Rangers, they go out, they trade for Cole Hamels. They make that move. And, their offense is coming too. And there's just – these are three teams that you can't look at and definitively say one is better than the other, which is worse than the third. In the AL East, mm-hmm. the Blue Jays are better than the Yankees. And anybody who wants to dispute that is going to have a really tough time doing it, especially after this last series. I like the AL West. I think it's more compelling. It's more suspenseful. And frankly, we just don't know what's – there's less of a – there's more of a mystery to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's do that. Let's get Nick S. in here. Nick, what do you make of Nick's comments with regard to the Yankees? Kind of tough to dispute him in light of the fact that the Yankees had their shot over the weekend and dropped 3 out of 4 to the Blue Jays, huh?
I mean, I agree with some of the things he said. The series against the Blue Jays was huge and could have been a split. Dylan Betances blows a hold, which, you know, he doesn't do, and, you know, they end up losing 3 of 4. I'm biased. I'm a Yankees fan, but, you know, to take that, to step back and look at this, you know, objectively, not as a Yankees fan, the race in the West, I'm going to just, you know, wait till we get to the AL East to say my remarks on everything he said. But just as a baseball fan, I look at the Astros, Rangers, Angels. I've been keeping an eye on it for a while because I was just waiting for the Astros. When are they going to drop? When are they going to drop? Kind of like we were earlier in the year when you had me on and we were talking about the Twins. I've been waiting for the Astros. When are they going to come back to Earth? When are they going to come back to Earth? And I don't even know if it's that much or just, you know, the Rangers are hitting it right at fifth gear at the right moment. It's a two-dog race. I think the Angels are out of it. The Rangers, they went out and got Cole Hamels. Everyone knocked – a lot of people knocked them because they're like, yep. Why would you get rid of all those great prospects, you know, to do what? You're not going to compete this year because it was the Astros and the Angels that everyone was talking about. And, you know, the Rangers were thinking long term because, they have some injuries and, you know, they figured it was a good deal. And don't look now. Here come the Rangers.
Nick, do you know what Hamels' record has been down there since they have acquired him? What's it been, about 3 weeks now, 4 weeks since the trade deadline? Do you have any idea what his record has been?
With Texas?
Yeah.
3-1, not bad. 0-4, though, with Texas this year. It hasn't been fantastic.
But he's got the wins.
Yes.
Okay. So that's all that matters at this point. Forget the ERA. Who cares about that at this time of year?
I'll also say he's got the wins in comparison to his losses. He started 8 games, though, and he's just got 4 decisions. So it's a bit wishy-washy in terms of wins.
Okay. So, we can't necessarily definitively point to Cole Hamels and say, well, okay, that was a turning point. I guess is where I was going to try to go with it. But I guess we can't necessarily say that.
I think you can say it in a sense that not necessarily his performance or his play is a turning point. Not that he's been bad at all. But you could try to make the argument that perhaps when Cole Hamels came to the Rangers, it gave the impression to the players that this team is they're buyers and they're looking to win, and they went out and they made a move, and the front office is doing what they can, and it's a fresh face, new guy on the team, somebody with experience both in the league and in the postseason. I mean, there could be intangibles you could point to in terms of what Cole Hamels brings and just what the whole notion of trading for a big-name player brings to the team. But to say that his performance and his pitching kind of turned this team around, I don't know how much weight you can put into that.
Okay. All right, gotcha. Now, let's go back to this conversation we're having about the AL West for a moment. Because what am I looking at here? I'm looking at the Rangers. I'm looking at the Rangers schedule, okay? First game last night of a four-game series against the Astros, and last night they're 5-3 winners. Game tonight, game tomorrow, game Thursday. Dear God, this could be in Texas's hands by, well, this could be in their hands by, I guess, by the end of the day today, by the end of the game today, right? This could be in their hands. And if they roll off the next two, they could certainly do some damage, it would seem to me. Because, look, they're going to play the Astros again before the end of the month. Of course, they're going to play them in Houston from the 25th to the 27th. But by that point, the Astros will really be perhaps possibly digging in. What do we make of this series at this point right now? Does anybody have pitching matchups? I don't have pitching matchups. I don't know if anybody's got that. I didn't pull that one up. And what anybody makes of perhaps maybe the pitching matchups over the next three games. Because I really think this is go time. Here it is. This might just change the entire complexion of the AL West, these three games right here. Thoughts on this one? Run it around the room. Nick Gass, go ahead, jump in.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when you're playing against each other that, and you're in less than a game separated, it's huge. I pulled up this strange stat here. I don't even know how I got to it, but I was looking at, you know, of all the teams in the race, like their average win percent versus opponents and home and away, and the Astros have a 9-9 split. Like they're at Texas, and their average, their opponents have a 4.91. Both teams are playing teams that aren't that good, so this series is more important. You know, because you're right up against each other. Like, if the Rangers win these next three, you know, Houston's in some trouble. I believe Houston ends the season against the Angels. I think that's what I saw. No, they ended against Arizona, which is another topic. Texas actually ends the season with the Angels. And you know the Angels, if they're in it or out, are going to want to spoil someone because of the fact that they're not in it.
Right.
But you look at the remaining schedule, and Texas plays 13 of the last 19 at home. To get the fans behind it, you know, a lot of times in the other sports, like the home field advantage, you can't really tell that much in baseball. But when it gets down to, like, October, you can just feel it. You tune into that game. When they talk about October baseball, as a baseball fan, it kind of gives you, like, chills when your team's in it. And the crowds are pumped up. And I do think that that gives you an extra motivation, and it helps the players out, you know, like it helps them play better. It gets them excited to go out to the ballpark. And I think that that's another thing that's in favor of the Texas Rangers. And I don't think the Houston Astros are a better team, and I think the Texas Rangers end up winning it.
Whoa. Okay. Nick, you got those matchups. Go ahead, run them down.
I do. It's a good set of matchups. We got Colin McHugh and Derek Holland going tonight. We've got Keuchel and Perez tomorrow, and Thursday is Lance McCullers and Colby Lewis.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, anybody want to make a predict on the three games that are remaining based just on that? Nick, what do you think?
I mean, the Rangers staff has looked real, real good late. Holland's looked good. Lewis has looked good. Perez has struggled a little bit. I love Colin McHugh. Keuchel's phenomenal, and I have man crush on Lance McCullers. I think the Keuchel Perez match is a win for Houston. Mm-hmm. McEwen Holland, maybe I'll tip my cap toward Holland a little bit, give the Rangers a break. I like McCullers over Lewis. It's based on the pitching matchup alone, it's tight, but I got to give the edge to Houston because of that Keuchel Perez matchup. I don't know. I don't disagree with what Nick said, Nick S. I don't agree with what Nick S. said. I don't know if I can definitively say that the Rangers are a better team than Houston. I don't know if I can say that Houston's a better team than Texas. Honestly, it's really a toss-up right now. And I think the whole point of this conversation is hitting it right on the head. Is this series, I think, is the time to really look into this divisional race and see, you know, how do these two teams stack up against each other? Because they're not going to play each other every game for the rest of the season, so it's not 100% of the argument. But I think we'll see in this specific series who really has the upper hand. Who's playing better than the other team right now? Who's the better team? Whose offense is stronger? Can the Rangers hit Houston? Can Houston hit the Rangers? How will Derek Holland hold up against the Houston offense? Will Colin McHugh stay hot? I mean, these are two teams that, from an outsider's perspective, are fairly even. And I don't really think I can make a definitive decision on who I think will win the division or who I think is a better team until I see the end of the series. I want to see these three games, really, before I make a prediction for the AL West. And, Mike, we were talking about this earlier with the AL East. It seems like, as we're getting ready to discuss these divisional races, all the teams we need to see play each other are all playing each other. I mean, the Yankees just finished a series with the Blue Jays. Houston and Texas are going at it. This is a huge week in baseball, not only in terms of picking up games, but really for fans to see who is the better team.
Mm-hmm. For anybody out there, particularly, look, if you're a Houston Astros fan, if you're a Texas Rangers fan, love to hear from you. Jump in with us here because, as you're hearing from us, we're having a little trouble kind of wrapping our brain around this. So perhaps maybe from a fan perspective, we might be able to get a feel for what's going on the ground. Give us a call here at 347-826-9964. Jump in with us here with the cleanup hitters. It's Frat House Mike. It's Nick. It's Nick Sports talking to you a little bit about what's going on in the AL West. 347-826-9964. Suddenly the AL West has gotten very, very interesting. Darn near as interesting as the AL East has been now since the end of the trade deadline. If you want to get hold of us in the chat room and leave us a message there, do so. Otherwise, hit me up over on Frat House Mike on Twitter, at Frat House Mike on Twitter, where I am right now sending out our Frat House Sports MLB poll. Will the Pirates win the NL Central? Will the Texas Rangers win the AL West? So there's our Frat House Sports MLB poll. You can participate in that by calling in again, 347-826-9964, or hit me up at Frat House Mike. Now, we just broke down, just a couple of moments ago, we broke down, or at least I kind of read it off to everybody, broke down the remaining schedule between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, all right, let's go through the same exercise here with the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros. And, guys, I've been looking it over now as you two have been talking, and I got to tell you something. This is a difficult one to call because the schedules are very, very, very similar in their nature. As we just pointed out, right now, I'm looking at the Texas Rangers schedule. Here's the Rangers schedule for the remainder of the season. They got three games with tonight's game. They got three games at home against the Astros, three games over the weekend against the Seattle Mariners. They go on the road then, three against the Oakland A's, three against the Houston Astros at Houston. That's next weekend, 25, 26, 27. They come home. Three against the Tigers, that clears out the month of September, and we close out the season with four games against the Los Angeles Angels at home. Now, over on the Astros side, reverse it. Astros right now are in Texas. They got those three games. They come home 1-2-3 games against the Oakland A's. This is very similar to what it's just a little bit more, just a little bit mixed up. Three games at home against the Oakland A's, followed by three games at home against the Los Angeles Angels, followed by three games at home against the Texas Rangers. They go on the road to close out the entire season, three games in Seattle, and then to close out the entire season, three games with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Gentlemen, I like the Houston Astros schedule better. That's my personal opinion. Weigh in, Nick S., what do you think?
Yeah, I think so a lot. You know, breaking it down just like numbers-wise, you know, it looked on the surface like Texas had – I mean, they play each other, you know, what, six times. So they're going to be able to decide this on the field. But if you're going to just look at the schedule, the thing that sticks out to me the most is that last three games against Arizona for Houston. Arizona, you know, they're done. And the only thing is it's on the road. Arizona's kind of like Colorado. They play a little bit better at home. It's a nice hitter's ballpark. But the Astros get hit. Arizona has no pitching, no bullpen. And, you know, that's one of the things with when teams are playing, you know, squads that aren't in it anymore. Well, they have packed it up, you know, packed it in. And there's no rivalry there. There's no reason. Like in the AL East, you know, I think everyone pretty much ends against someone in the AL East. This Houston Astros schedule ends perfectly for them. And in my opinion, really bad for baseball. I don't know why Major League Baseball would put an interleague series at the end of the Houston Astros. That really bothers me. And it's on the road. It's, you know, not to say it's unfair, but it just doesn't seem right. I like how the majority of other schedules, the one that I'm keeping track of the most, the AL East, everyone's playing everybody there at the end from the East. So, you know, if the Red Sox are playing the Yankees, obviously they're going to want to knock them out. Or the Orioles are playing the Blue Jays. Like, there's some competitiveness. And then you have the Astros finishing the season out against Arizona. It's just kind of like a dud. Houston has it looks, other take away the games against the Rangers, they have the easier schedule. I think the big thing is those last three games. But the thing about this series, in my opinion, is it's going to get settled on the field. It's not going to be one of those scoreboard watching series. It's going to get settled on the field in these six games. Nick was pointing out some things that, about the pitchers, and it wasn't that I was just jumping out there. I think that what we're in position here to do is to make a bold prediction. Like, I don't want to sit and wait for the next three games to make a prediction. I mean, you asked me a question, and I feel like that the Texas Rangers are the better team. I mean, I could be completely wrong. Sure. I don't pay attention to AL West as much as I do the AL East, but I think the Texas Rangers are a team that at the beginning of the season you thought would be here. That doesn't give them anything. But in my opinion, you know, as a talking head, I believe that the Rangers are the better team, even though the Astros schedule does, you know, kind of point in their favor. But this will be settled on the field. And I think that's the best thing for baseball, is that this is going to get settled on the field. And Major League Baseball couldn't ask for anything better than that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think, except, as you point out, and I would agree with you, with the exception of, you know, really, the Astros are playing the Diamondbacks to close out the season. Of course, let's remember something here. This schedule was designed last year at this time because we already know the 2016 schedule is out as of this past week. So the schedule for Major League Baseball was put together a year ago. Well, a year ago, the Houston Astros were what? In the basement of the AL West or third place perhaps in the AL West? So Major League Baseball, looking at that, said, oh, look, throw that one away. You know, who cares? The Astros aren't going to be in it anyhow. So that might have just been, you know, they, you know, you understand what I'm saying? That might have just been, convenience. It was a situation of convenience. Real quick, Nick, I think both Nick S. and myself are saying, based on the schedule that I just laid out there, you'd have to kind of give the nod to the Astros to hold on here. Would you agree with that or no?
No, I would agree. I think they've got the better schedule. I think one of the big things to point at is not this series, but the series later this month towards the end, I think the 25th through the 27th against the Rangers. That's in Houston. So the final three games against these teams, Houston will be home. you know, I agree with you. I feel more confident in saying Houston has a better schedule than the Rangers than I do in picking the better schedule when we were doing it earlier. Yeah, I mean, you guys talked about them playing Arizona at the end, and I just want to jump in on that real quick. Mike, I agree with you. I think when they made the schedule, they weren't really expecting these games to have any
importance.
Any importance, yeah. And honestly, in my opinion, there should never be interleague play in the last series of series of the season, because you shouldn't have interleague play every day. But that's what happens when you move the Astros and even out teams. But no, I think the Astros have the easier schedule here, and I think I do think Houston will hold on. Nick made a good point. We're here to make predictions, not to wait and see and make statements as everybody else does after everybody else has the information as well. With the information that we have now, and with my opinions and my thoughts and my, you know, looking at this schedule, I am going to make a prediction, because Nick brought up a great point. I should. I'm going to pick Houston to hold on to this, because I do think they have the easier schedule. I think they'll win this series. The next series is at home. And I, contrary to Nick, I think Nick said he thought Texas was a better team. I just think Houston's a better team, and I think they've got the pitching to back it up. I think Texas's pitching it worries me a little bit, because they performed well, but I could see a couple of those pitchers having a bad night here and there, and it really, really killing them in a tight race with not many games left. When you look at Houston's pitching staff, I'm not really sure, I'm not as worried every night when a pitcher takes the mound. I'm kind of more confident. You know what you're going to get. It's more consistent. I'm going to take Houston to hold on to the series. I mean, to this division. Sorry.
Son of a gun, there was something else I was going to throw out there and I forget. Oh, yeah, a real quick question. The concept of listen, don't get me wrong. I've always liked interleague play. I liked it right from day one. So I've always enjoyed the whole concept of interleague play. I think it's been a plus for Major League Baseball. But the phenomenon of playing interleague play throughout the entire calendar, that's a fairly new one. If I'm not mistaken, because wasn't it reserved for particular times on the calendar, and everybody was, you know, in those particular sections of the calendar, everybody was in interleague play. When did this change? This had to be what? Was it just this year?
This is when Houston moved to the AL, because now you had 15 and 15. So unless you want an American team and a National League team taking a day off, they got to play each other.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's only been within the past three seasons.
Yeah.
I guess it would be the past three seasons. All right. Well, let's we're talking predictions. Let's get somebody here who might have a prediction. We'll find out. Let's get Rick on deck in here. And Rick on deck, you got a prediction for us? You want to jump in on the AL West?
Sure. I have an interesting point about the AL West.
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
I think that one thing to keep in mind, and I do think Houston's schedule favors them just because of the fact that they have an awful lot of home games in that early part. Like the next few weeks, they're playing at home quite a bit. Because Houston is a very good home team. They're a terrible road team. I mean, they're well under 500 mm-hmm. on the road. And I think that, you know, if it comes down to the last week of the season where they're playing on the road, that could get real interesting. Texas, on the other hand, they're a so-so team at home. I mean, they're only a couple games over 500. But Texas is a great road team. So it's just an interesting spin on, you know, their schedules down the stretch.
Of course, the Astros are playing, as we just pointed out, the Diamondbacks on the road. So
yeah, well,
maybe that.
I imagine some of those 42 losses or whatever it is that they're carrying right now on the road have been against some fairly bad teams. And I think they're 29-41 or 29-42, something like that, on the road. So
that's a bit of an anomaly when you do look up and down the division leaders. That one really does jump out at you, because that one's really, really poor. Houston is 48-24 at home, 29-43 on the road, 29-43. Now, you know, look, not that there's anybody that's actually blowing the doors off of it. I mean, St. Louis is only 9 games over 500 on the road themselves, and I think that's about the best you're going to find of the division leaders. So nobody's actually blowing the doors off of it on the road. But Houston, that's abysmal. 29-43
is abysmal. Typically, I think that most teams that are playoff bound typically are at least 500 on the road. And I agree. I don't think there's anybody who ever, you know, plays, you know, great, great road ball, although Texas actually has a pretty good record on the road. But, again, their home record isn't all that much to write home about. But, you know, usually the teams that are really – you know, strong contenders are going to be at least around 500 on the road. So I don't know. I don't follow Houston that closely, so
right.
I haven't seen a lot of their games, and I defer to you guys. I think you have excellent analysis when it comes down to the players that are on these teams and stuff like that. So, you know, but just looking at the numbers, I'd be a little skeptical of Houston holding it together. But that's just one, you know, one angle that I saw when I'm looking through the, you know, through the statistics and the standings, and it looked like, you know, although, like I said, Houston's at home quite a bit over the next stretch, so that might bode well for him.
Yeah, it's a good observation. Good observation. I mean, the road stuff could be an issue. Like I said, you know, three of those, as we're just pointing out, against Arizona, who at this point right now, I mean, Arizona's mailing it in, right? I mean, 68-76 they are. They're mailing it in at this point. They're, you know, everybody over there just wants to get the season over with. So, you know, Detroit, I mean, they're going to have a series. Do I have that right? No, that's Texas. Houston, right before that, they got the Seattle Mariners, you know, on the road. I mean, yeah, they got all those home games after these three games right now against the Texas Rangers, and then they're going to have all those home games, and then we're going to close out the season with the Mariners on the road and the Diamondbacks on the road.
Yep.
Oh,
and that's
boy.
Why I like Houston's schedule. I think it does favor them because in the critical part, I think that, yeah, they could get you know, they could maybe push that lead to a couple games going into that, you know, those last road series, and the fact that they are playing teams that have probably mailed it in, you know, it would be hard for Texas to overcome that if they can play at the same rate again as they're doing right now at home, because their home record is fantastic. It's as good as their road record is bad. So I think that, you know, if they can stretch the lead, I think the schedule actually favors them.
You know, and with due respect, I think there's probably none of us here on this panel. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Nick S., you might actually do a little more. You might be able to follow a little bit more. But I think, Nick, you pointed out. I know I can say I don't. You know, because of the fact we're broadcasting here from the East, we don't get the opportunity to see some of the Western teams, particularly in the AL West. We actually get to see a bit more coming out of the NL West. You'll see more Dodgers games here in our market frequently than you're going to see AL Western games. You'd almost have to catch a Fox broadcast on a Saturday afternoon or an ESPN game in order to catch a AL West game. Stick around with this though, Rick on deck. We're going to jump over to the AL East for a moment. This could get really interesting. Well, we started out talking about it. Yankees had themselves a really good opportunity this past weekend to do some damage if they wanted to. That was at Yankee Stadium, wasn't it, guys? This past weekend? Holy smokes. Yeah, see, that makes it even worse. Now, as it's looking right now, Toronto, three games in front of the Yankees. Yankees are the solid favorite right now in second place for the first wild card team. Second wild card team at the moment goes to Texas as we're talking, and we'll be talking again next week at this time, I'm sure, as we're talking now, and then that thing could be flipped around and it might be Houston by next week at this time. But Yankees for certain are probably going to be your one wild card representative, I would think, certainly. Now, let's get into, with 19 games or thereabouts left, let's get into what are the possibilities of this actually getting turned around completely. And I think we would be having a much more favorable conversation if, in fact, that weekend series with Toronto had gone perhaps maybe the opposite direction. But nonetheless, let's take a look at where we are right now. The New York Yankees, I believe I have the Yankees. Yeah, this is the Yankees schedule up right now. They won last night in Tampa Bay. We're in Tampa Bay again this evening. In fact, that game is ongoing. I'll check the score on that in a moment.
It's 1-1.
4-1. Who is winning?
It's 1-1.
Oh, 1-1. I'm sorry. Okay. So we've got tonight and we got tomorrow night in Tampa Bay. We got three games over the weekend in New York against the Mets. We got a Subway Series going there. Wow. Okay. That could get interesting. Then we got three more games where we're heading to Toronto. Oh, boy. This isn't getting any better, is it? Then we've got one, two, three, four games at home against the White Sox. Okay. Well, wipe your brow. We got three games against the Red Sox to close out the month of September. And we close out four games against the Red Sox, pardon me. And then we close out we close out the season October 2, 3, and 4 in Baltimore against the Orioles. The Orioles are going to be wanting to play spoiler potentially at that. Well, maybe not, because at that point the Yanks might actually have the wild card completely locked up, and Baltimore will just be wanting to get to the golf course left for whatever's left of the fall season itself. So I don't know. That's not an easy schedule, in my opinion. Let's go look at the Blue Jays here real quick. One, two, three games right now, tonight through Thursday in Atlanta. They come home. Three games over the weekend against the Red Sox. Three games against the Yankees. Follow that next weekend, three games at home against the Tampa Bay Rays. They go on the road to Baltimore to play the Orioles. And then four games against the Orioles, as I pointed out. Sorry about that. Three more games to close out the regular season in Tampa Bay against the Rays. Gentlemen, I like the Toronto Blue Jays schedule better. Nick Swartz, go ahead. Jump in. What do you think?
I mean, the Blue Jays have the better schedule. This interleague stuff, like, not to just get off the AOs, because I would love to talk about that all night. This interleague stuff really bothers me, and I'm paying very close attention. I'm actually watching three baseball games as we talk. The interleague being involved in this, I liked the interleague when it first came, and I liked the concept, like you were saying, Mike. I think it's neat, and I like the rivalries. I think as time's went on, it's got watered down, and, you know, like Nick was saying about, you know, evening out divisions, and I get all that, but there doesn't need to be this interleague at the end. You know,
I agree.
The Blue Jays playing the Braves right now. The Yankees playing the Mets. Like, I understand, like, you put that in the middle of the season, and it's exciting. It's going to be a really exciting now because the Yankees need to win every game. But if you take the end of the schedule, you know, with the Blue Jays and the Yankees after these interleague games, it's, you know, AL East dominated, and it's what you want. And I don't feel like the Baltimore Orioles will ever mail it in. Buck Showalter
really?
Is one of the most hardcore managers in Major League Baseball. I would guarantee those guys are coming to the ballpark every single night to bust their butts. He is old school in every way, shape, and form. If there's one team I know for sure that I would feel very, very confident would not mail it in, it would be the Baltimore Orioles, and especially with it being teams in division. Buck takes that stuff real seriously. I followed him with his time as a Yankees manager, and
sure.
And as when he went on with Baltimore, I liked him a lot when he was in New York. I don't care for him so much in Baltimore, but the reason I dislike him in a sense is because he has that mentality, but I respect it. But looking at the schedules, like the Blue Jays have an easier schedule, it's just the interleague stuff. I just look at this; it's annoying, and I think that baseball not only spoils the end of the season races, it also spoils and waters down the interleague play more than it already has.
So you don't think that the final three games on the Yankees schedule against the Orioles in Baltimore, you don't think that that might be a cakewalk for the Yankees?
No. No way. But Buck Showalter has talked at length about his disdain of the Yankees. He didn't want to give out, you know, the Jeter and Mariano Rivera went on those, like, you know, goodbye tours. He didn't want to give out. He didn't want to be involved in any of that. He left the Yankees not – it was not a happy breakup. And, I mean, he probably would have come out and say, because he wouldn't want to give the Yankees that credit. He despises the Yankees. No, there's not going to be any – maybe – no, I don't think he would against anyone else, but especially against the Yankees. The Baltimore Orioles are bringing their A game. They're coming to win. They're coming to despoil the Yankees. If they can, they're coming to do it. And even if the Yankees do seal up the wild card, which I don't think they're going to do by then, I think it's going to come down to the end of the season, the Orioles are coming to play to win every single night. Those guys are out there fighting for their jobs. There's younger guys on that team. So, no, I don't think that any of the teams in the AL East are going to mail it in at all.
Yeah, but Nick S., they've, for all intent and purpose, Yankees, don't you think? I mean, no, obviously, mathematically, they don't. But looking at the schedules as we just did, the Yankees are going to be the number one wild card team, don't you think, at this point? I mean, you've already conceded. You've already stated. You stated it earlier in the program that you think Toronto is probably going to win the division. So
I think Toronto won the division over the weekend. The Yankees play them three more times, but not at least splitting cost the Yankees the division. I was talking to a couple guys that are Blue Jays fans that I know that live in Canada, and when Betances blew that save or blew that hold, I was like, that's it. You know, time for the wild card race. I think there's a small chance. It's small, but I don't think to say that the Yankees are, you know, have sealed up the wild card. I don't think so. I mean, it's looking good, but the Twins are playing great.
I was going to say Minnesota is the only other one in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, the Angels have fallen off. You know, in the last, you know, three, four games, they have fallen off. And, you know, I'm paying very close attention to this. So, yeah, I was a little bit more concerned when the Angels were involved, and I like that Texas and Houston are going at each other because that kind of knocks one of them, you know, one way and one the other. But the Minnesota Twins aren't going away, so, and the Yankees aren't playing that great right now. They're not playing great. They're banged up. The lucky thing for them is that they have some nice replacements. And, you know, Gray Bird coming up to play for Mark Teixeira. CeCe came back and pitched a gem last night. But for all intents and purposes, the AL East is the Blue Jays to lose. There has been, you know, some big collapses in the AL East in the past and in Major League Baseball. I'm not throwing in the towel by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not looking so good, and the weekend was tough. The Yankees would have to sweep in Toronto, and then they would have to beat the Mets, which is a tough series against best pitching staff in baseball.
Yes, it will be. And apparently, you know, one of the articles that I sent over to both of you guys this afternoon in the outline was how at this point right now, it seems that in New York, the team at least – I guess the bandwagon team, at least to follow, are the Mets. That's who's getting the most juice right now are the Mets. So I guess they've done some polling and some, you know, I don't know, they do the man on the street sort of thing or whatever, you know, who are you following? Are you following the Mets or are you following the Yankees? And, well, it seems to be the Mets are where everybody's heart is right now in Gotham City. But, Nick, I think you've already indicated you think Toronto is going to win this. I mean, anything, is there any doubt in your mind that the Yankees aren't the wild card?
No.
You hesitated. You had trouble pulling that out of your mouth.
I think they pretty much got it. I mean, we were talking about their schedules earlier. I don't see their schedule as being incredibly difficult moving forward. I don't think they catch up to the Blue Jays. I think the Blue Jays kind of will begin to run away with this in just a few days. But I don't really see them losing the wild card because, well, let me
look at the schedule once. and tell me that it's not a real good possibility the Yankees could lose a wild card.
Yeah, I'm trying to put my thoughts together as I'm answering the question. I would say there's an 85% chance the Yankees are a wild card, and that's being real, real generous to the other teams. I'm almost absolute certain they're in.
Well, what we need? We need Minnesota's schedule. Let me pull that one up here, and we'll take a look at that for a moment. Let me get Rick on deck in. Rick, what's your thoughts on the AL East at this point? Toronto, right? Toronto all the way, and New York's
going to be. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I think Nick S. brought up some good points, and I think Nick brought up some good points earlier as to why the Blue Jays, I think, will – stretch their lead, actually. I mean, I think the weekend series showed that they believe in themselves. So I don't see any fall there. And as was stated, I think the Yankees have a pretty difficult schedule just because of I would suspect that Boston will play them tough, too. And Boston's actually been playing a little bit better. But
yeah.
I would suspect that, you know, with the rivalry that's there and the hatred between those teams, they're not going to be easy games for the Yankees. So I think that, you know, the Boston games against Toronto, if you were, you know, just taking a look at that and then the Boston games against the Yankees, I think the Yankees will have a tougher time against Boston than Toronto would, just because Boston's going to have more of a fight, I think, you know, for the Yankees. So that part of their schedule is definitely favors Toronto. And then I think head-to-head, I mean, Toronto's been kind of beating up on the Yankees recently. So, you know, the games that they have head-to-head, I think the Blue Jays have a lot of confidence. So I just don't see the Yankees overtaking them. As far as the wild card, that's a good question. Again, I don't know a whole lot about Minnesota. But, you know, depending on what their schedule is, I just find that it's tough at this time of the year to jump over, you know, a couple of teams. So I think they would have a better chance of catching Texas at this point, or Houston, whoever ends up not winning that division, than they would catching the Yankees. But again, you know, if the Yankees go into a tailspin, obviously teams could pass them. But I think that, you know, if the Yankees can play – you know, a little bit above 500 down the stretch, I don't know. It's going to be tough for teams to jump up and catch them for the wild card. But, yeah, you guys might know Minnesota a little bit better than I do. But I just think that they, you know, given the standings as they stand right now, they obviously are closer to Texas, so obviously have a better chance of catching, you know, the team from the West. But just from past experience, it's hard to jump, you know, several teams. So I just think the Yankees I like Nick's, I might put it at 75%, but I certainly like Nick's, you know, percentage on that. I think that it's very, very difficult with 19 games left in the season to knock them out of the wild card.
Well, I can give you some bad news if you want for the New York Yankees. I've got the Minnesota Twins schedule up in front of me. Let's keep in mind that the Minnesota Twins right now are one game out of the wild card. That is one game out of the second spot for the wild
card.
Yankees are a +3, and the number one team for the wild card, Texas Rangers, right now would be the second team. Minnesota Twins are only one game out, and here is their schedule. They are right now hosting the Detroit Tigers. They won last night against the Tigers 7-1. Tomorrow, they stay at home. They've got four games against the Los Angeles Angels. They stay at home through midweek next week. They've got the Cleveland Indians. Then they go on the road. Next weekend, three games in Detroit, followed by three games at the to close out the month of September, three games on the road to the Cleveland Indians, Detroit Tigers, then Cleveland Indians, and then that's a four games actually to the Cleveland Indians to take us to October 1st, and then they come home for three games against the Kansas City Royals. With due respect, the Royals are going to be tough, obviously. The Angels could be. But that's a four-gamer at home for Minnesota. And Minnesota's been playing well recently. In fact, recently they're 6-4, and their home record not too bad, 43-26. So that gets a little bit interesting now, doesn't it? I'm telling you, the AL is just racked with all kinds of intrigue. Seriously, the AL is just, you got to love the AL. The NL, listen, you know what? Take the NL, close up shop, just say all the games were played, close the shop up, and we'll come back to you guys, come October 4 or 5, something like that. I don't know. Any thoughts here? Nick S., jump in on the Minnesota schedule, because you were the one just pointing out to Nick, that you actually sound like you're a little bit nervous about the Yankees losing the wild card.
Yeah, and it's hard for me not to look at it as I've been a fan of the Yankees for 40 years almost. So it just makes me nervous, and I can't, in this particular case, take the fan, goggles off. And I do have a fear, because I didn't think this team was that good coming in, and when they jumped out in front, I was nervous. And then when Toronto bolstered their team, I got more nervous, and I've been paying very close attention to the Minnesota Twins and the Astros and the Rangers. The Twins end the season. The good thing about the Twins with the end of season is they're playing teams that are at least decent. That's a positive. They end the season with the Royals, and the Royals are going to have the number one seed lined up, and they're going to probably have their starters rested. I looked at that the other day. I was like, of course they end the season with the Royals, because Royals will have packed it in. It would be because they're resting for the playoffs. So the Twins schedule is easier than the Yankees. But it's not easy. I think all the teams are going to come to play. Detroit's going to be fighting for their manager's job. The Angels don't. I don't think they're a give up team, and they're probably still kind of they're going to be mathematically in it. The Indians are the wild card there, because I can't get a read on them. Sometimes they seem to be really playing well into it, and others they don't seem to be there. It's that three games at the end against Kansas City, Triple-A team, that worries me the most, and could possibly give the Twins the wild card.
Anybody want to take into account, Nick or Rick on deck, anybody want to take into account this Minnesota situation? Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking at the Twins schedule, and I'm saying, yeah, all right. To me, it looks manageable. It looks like a manageable schedule for the Twins. I can't see the Yankees at this point free-falling that badly to be completely locked out of the wild card. That's just my personal opinion. They're 4-6, however, in their last 10. And I know that Nick S., you wanted to jump in on your good buddy A-Rod over there. I mean, he did make the comment the other day that, hey, listen, don't you go throwing in the towel on us just yet. I'm here to take this team to the top. So, I give it to him. He's 40 years old, and at least he's sounding like a leader. So, I mean, that's a good thing. I don't know. Nick or Rick on deck, I can't see the Yankees dropping out of here.
I mean, I agree with that. And it kind of reiterates what I was saying earlier, but even with Minnesota's schedule, because I agree with Nick S. that Kansas City is going to be lining up their rotation for the playoffs. So likely they'll get a lighter version of Kansas City in those last three games. So even with that being said, and, Minnesota does have a manageable schedule, I think Minnesota can make a wild card. I just don't think that Minnesota and Texas will both make the wild card.
Yeah.
Or Houston, depending. Because I think Texas and Houston are going to be, knocking each other's brains out, trying to win the division. And both of them, if I recall correctly, had, what could be arguably, Houston looked like they had an easier record. So if we just kick them out and say, okay, Houston's going to win the division, we just concentrate on Texas. I think Minnesota can make the wild card. I just don't think Minnesota and Texas will both make the wild card, which means not both of them are going to catch the Yankees. So I think
good
the Yankees,
point.
I don't know if the Yankees will be the first wild card, but I just don't see them dropping out of the wild card picture completely.
Minnesota-Texas would be an interesting one-game play-in, though, wouldn't it?
That would be incredibly interesting.
That would really be a really cool game, to be perfectly honest. That one I'd be on the edge of my seat for. Minnesota and Texas as a one-game play-in. That's really cool. Nick S., let me throw a question at you, because we had this conversation here on the show here a couple of weeks ago, when we've been talking about the Washington Nationals free fall. And suspicion here, and I think the general agreement has been, that Washington Nationals are going to be looking at some management changes, particularly just because of the manner in which they have completely fallen from grace since the All-Star break. If, for instance, and I'm throwing out a hypothetical to you because you're our Yankees guy, if the Yankees were to completely fall altogether, say within the last, I don't know, 6-7 days of the season, are we looking at that team going through a major, major shakeup in the offseason? Or can we expect that anyhow?
I think player-wise, it's already been happening. I think the Yankees somehow, even though I doubted it strongly and ripped them for, you know, having a foot in the old and a foot in the new, somehow Brian Cashman has done a nice job of blending the old guard with the new guard. You know, a perfect example is bringing up Greg Bird to share it out, broken bone. Greg Bird steps in, who he's been compared to Don Mattingly. I watched him for the last 2 years in AA. Great ball player. So they're finding the balance there. I don't think that there'll be a change of the guard. I think that going into this season, the Yankees, I don't believe that they really thought that they would be in this position. They may have said that, but I don't think that they thought that they were there. That's why they started, you know, mixing and matching, and they didn't go after the big guns like they normally would. Or have in years past. I think you're going to see a change in the guard in the sense, like, with the influx of talent on the way. There's a new core four coming to the Bronx very soon. Three of them are there now. And there's two more strong guys coming up, you know, from the minors. I think Joe Girardi's job is safe, if that's the direct question that you're asking. They're not going to get rid of Girardi because, and I've thought about it, but who would take his place? Who is better than Joe Girardi to manage the Yankees? He, in my opinion, as a fan, in my opinion, as someone that writes and talks about the Yankees, he does a lot of things that bother me and I question, but I think the Yankees management loves him.
Any thoughts, Nick, on anything that we've just thrown out there with regard to, you know, hey, is it going to be the Yankees? Yankees are there, right? Yankees are going to – there's no doubt in your mind, right?
Yeah. The Yankees will be in the playoffs.
All right. I think we got that one summed up. Rick on deck, thanks for joining us tonight.
Sure. It was a great conversation.
Absolutely. Always is, man. Make sure you keep listening. We're going to be coming to you all through the playoffs.
All right.
All right,
sounds
man.
Good.
Thanks. You got it.
See ya.
All righty. Good stuff. Now, you know what? I'm going to save this because we got two more weeks left to the regular season. So I'm going to save some of this. I'm sure Nick, you took notice of the fact that as I promised that I was going to way back 6 months ago when we did our early preseason programs. I did, in fact, keep track of all of our preseason predictions for each and every division. But I'm going to hold on to that. Some of our predictions, when we look back on them, when I look back on them this afternoon, and I was saying, no, because it's, You know, there's like, for instance, AL Central, there's predictions there from Nick, from Sean, from myself. And then the AL West, there's predictions there from Caleb, Nick, myself. And I think it would be fun if we go through these in the final week or two before the season closes and see how badly we picked things. Dear Lord, were we wrong on so many things. Hold on. Let me just look at the AL East here. I'll give everybody a little bit of a taste. Nick's not included in this one, so I wouldn't embarrass Nick. But AL East, we've just gotten done talking about the AL East. How did we predict that one? Way back on, hey, how about St. Patrick's Day, March 17th? Well, here's how we predicted it. Caleb had Boston at the top, Baltimore, Toronto, Tampa Bay, and the Yankees. Sean had Boston, Baltimore, Toronto, New York Yankees, and Tampa Bay. I had Baltimore, Boston, Yankees, Toronto, and Tampa Bay. Boy, oh boy. As we have spent all this time now here talking about the AL East, we couldn't have been further wrong. And with all due respect, I must tell you that the remainder of our prognostications are just as amusing. So you're going to want to be here for next week's program, for sure, because we'll get into it a little bit more. Real quick, I wanted to get into observations from a couple of Philly guys here. I had an observation, but mine's short and succinct and very easy to go with it. Listen, Jonathan Papelbon was in town last night. I don't know if either one of you noticed, in Philadelphia. He was in town last night because and he's in town again tonight, and I guess tomorrow night as well, right? Because we got the Washington Nationals visiting Citizens Bank Park. And, he had a couple of comments, which, interestingly enough, I found it interesting that the Washington Nationals actually stepped in on his post-game, I guess it was post-game press conference, and they kind of cut it short, and they said, okay, get out of here, Paps. We don't want you saying anything more. He made a couple of comments, and let's see. Do I have this one? Let's see. I want to get this. I want to make sure I got the context of this right. I want to get right to the heart of it. He had made a comment to the effect that he wasn't the bad guy in this town, in Philadelphia, by any means, for sure. It wasn't he that was the bad guy. He gave it his all here in Philadelphia, and it was many other guys on the roster here in the Philadelphia Phils who, basically were mailing it in. They were the ones that, they just didn't seem to have eye of the tiger. Where are his – I'm looking for his exact quote. Anyhow, let me get Nick in on this real quick. Because, Nick, we've talked about Papelbon before. We talked about him, obviously, beginning of the season when he was here on the roster. And then, of course, we talked about him during the trade deadline. Did you see his comments here? You know the comments I'm talking about?
I didn't see the exact comment. I heard he commented about something. I didn't see his exact quotes.
Yeah, let me see if I can find this exactly as he stated it. I was one of the few that wanted to actually win, and I was one of the few that competed and posted up every day. You know, Paps, he's the man. He's the man, huh? I just make say, oh man, I got to tell you something. I just feel so bad that he's no longer with us, because that guy, you know, pull him up by your bootstraps, sort of dude. That's the kind of guy I want. If I say something, I mean it, Papelbon said. It feels from the heart. I'm not going to take anything back that I've ever said or did because I believe that it's right. I don't know if I got a bad rap here or whatever, but I can promise you I was by far from the bad guy on this team. Well, I don't know. Initial reaction, Nick. Just go ahead, go with your gut.
I believe him. I don't think he's lying to us. I mean, he's a competitor, sure. We knew that. We knew he was a competitor. And this Nationals team has now had a bit of a string of guys being a little too honest in the clubhouse about both their team and other teams, but that's a discussion for another day. He's not lying. He's telling the truth. I mean, he was a competitor, and I don't think he was a bad guy on this team. I think, honestly, I was never the big fan of Jonathan Papelbon, but that was even before he came to Philadelphia. I wasn't a big fan of him in Boston. But I think he's incredible. He's really good at what he does. He's one of the best closers in the league year in, year out. He's absolutely competitive. I didn't ever question his wanting to win. But I don't know. I don't know if it was really necessary for him to bring that all up. I mean, I don't know whether he was prompted, whether he was questioned, and that's just kind of the answer that came out. But it just kind of seemed like an intentional shot back at Phillies fans that he had some animosity built up into him or something in his time in Philadelphia, and he finally had a time to fire back. Maybe I'm not really sure why, what really incentivized him to come out and with these comments, because like I said, I don't blame him for saying that. I'm not going to tell anybody he's lying because I don't think he is. I just don't understand why he had to go out and say, oh, this is the only thing I can imagine that would explain this, and it's the same thing that would explain Bryce Harper's comments and all the comments that are coming from that clubhouse. It's just frustration.
Yep.
The team was supposed to win the division, and now they're, what did you say, they're like 9.5 out or something like that. They're all but eliminated from the playoffs at this point to a Mets team that wasn't supposed to have any business winning this division. They're frustrated. I got to imagine this is just an effect of that. It's an implication of the frustration coming out. You know, the Phillies trade me to a contender. I'm going to a better team, and I still can't even win here.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, I got no problem with them saying that. I just maybe not entirely necessary.
Nick, yes, I know you're a Yankees guy, but I know you follow what happens here in Philadelphia. Any thoughts on did you see his comments here today during the day today?
Yeah, I've. It was the one moment where they broke away from talking about the other stuff going on in this city. I'm a Yankees fan, but I live in Philly. I've lived in Philly for over 20 years, and, you know, I pay attention to the Phillies, and, you know, I want them to do well. I don't have any, you know, I just never got into them as a kid. But, yeah, I paid attention. Yeah, I read it. I heard it, and then I came home because, you know, all the radio guys here spin things, and I wanted to read it myself. Just because I wanted to see how, like, you know, Nick was saying, like, how it was approached, how he was asked, and you're not going to get that exactly. But reading it in print and compared to what the, you know, great talking heads we have in here in Philadelphia spun it, I think like what Nick was saying, like, he is a competitor, and the one thing about Papelbon is he has no filter, and he does speak, like it or not, he speaks from the heart and how he feels. But my only problem is, it's two problems. One, why does he feel the need to just keep, you know, like, what was the question that led him? I couldn't find it anywhere.
Exactly.
What was the question that led him into that?
Well, they never do that. Yeah, they never print the question,
you know,
right.
I'm sure that someone baited him into it. It was like, you know, do you miss Philly? Do you, how do you feel about being back in Philadelphia? Something along the lines of that. And then, you know what, if I'm the beat guy for the Phillies or you know, the Nationals, whatever, especially the Phillies, I'm going to ask that question because I know that he's the one guy that I can definitely get a good soundbite from. He's one guy that my money is right there because he's going to say whatever's on his mind. He doesn't have a filter, but he didn't have one when he was here, and he was one of the most disliked players in any sport that I can remember in a long time. And it seemed to me that by his actions on the field, the whole crotch grabbing, the different things that he said and did, he kind of fed off of it. He's one of those guys, like, he reminds me of a professional wrestler. He, like, feeds off the negativity more than the positive. And I think that he was never liked in this town, and more the Philadelphia fans and media pushed, he pushed back. Even though he probably was baited into that question, I'm pretty confident he enjoyed saying what he did. Blaming the ball boy, though, seems to me like you're going a little bit far. He says it can go, you know, from the front office all the way down to the bat boy or whatever. You know, sometimes he just doesn't know when to shut up.
I agree, and that was my gut reaction was, hey, you know something, buddy? Just shut the hell up. I mean, seriously.
LeSean McCoy
2.0.
That's what he reminds me of.
Thank you very much. It's exactly what I thought. But the circumstances might have been identical, with all due respect, because, as you point out, sometimes we just don't know. You know, we're reading or we're hearing on our side, but we don't know what the bait was that was thrown out there to begin with. Let me get you caught up here real quick on a couple of scores live as we are going right now. Yankees, bottom of the fourth, Yankees are up 3-2 over the Tampa Bay Rays. So we're in the bottom of the fourth. Yankees are in Tampa Bay. They're up 3-2. Chicago Cubs, they're in Pittsburgh. Top of the fifth, that is 2-0. 2-0 right there. Any other score I need to throw out here? Any import gentlemen that I might be missing here real quick before I get to? I think I got them.
No, but Texas Rangers just scored on Houston. I don't know if you said that one. But no,
Tigers,
I mean, the Texas is up 1-0.
Tigers are up on the Twins 2-0 in the bottom of the first.
Yeah.
Let's get over to our Series Streak Challenge here. We got about 4 minutes here. Real quick, things got really, really interesting right now. It is all virtually, like, locked up. Myself, Nick, Sean, all 12-11 on the season. Caleb,
wow.
Now 11-12. Now 11-12. Yeah, I've had a really bad couple of weeks here in a row. And so here we go. Sean is taking this week the Chicago White Sox over the Cleveland Indians. Caleb, he's taking the Tampa Bay Rays over the Baltimore Orioles. Nick, where are you going?
I'm taking the Los Angeles Dodgers over the Pittsburgh Pirates. How about that, Caleb?
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Wow. I'm writing it down real quick. Dodgers over the Pirates. And last but not least, I've got the Rockies over the Padres this coming weekend. We'll see how it all starts to work its way out as we continue to go forward. Great program here this evening, guys. I appreciate it. Appreciate everybody that's been listening in. Appreciate Rick on deck jumping in with us as well and giving us some insight, his insight anyhow, on the playoffs. Nick Sports, thank you very, very much. Appreciate you always jumping in with us when we need a hand over here at Frat House Sports.
My pleasure.
Folks, I got to tell you something. You want to be here? Yeah, I'm about ready to go. I'm going to go 5 for 5. I'm going to be on the air 5 straight nights this week. You can catch me. And if you want, you can hit me up over on Twitter and say, I'm sick of you. Frat House Mike, I'm sick of you. But guess what? You're going to get a heavy dose. I'm here with you tonight. I'm here with you tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Tomorrow night, you want to be here for as we reintroduce our Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz, our all NFL program. Last time we were on the air with Red Zone Blitz, hold on, I got the date here. Yeah, it was February 1st, right before the Super Bowl. So you want to be here for tomorrow night. That's the first one in all these many, many months. Brandon and I will be coming back in here, and we're going to just break it down. We're going to take the NFL this past week. First week, week one, oh, my gosh, what a disaster in some areas. Going to turn it upside down, rip it inside out, back together again is what we're going to do. And we're going to it's going to be fun. Red Zone Blitz. Listen, if it's a Frat House Sports production, you got to know it's going to be good. Saturday night, we'll be back here with you with our 210th episode of the Frat House Sports Show. Nick, you and I and Caleb back in here on Friday night at our regular time for Fantasy Friday, our Fantasy Friday program, 8 p.m. Eastern time. You want to be here with Nick Sports, myself, and Caleb as we will be talking 2 hours of fantasy football going into week two. Oh, God, there's a lot of us that need some help. Boy, do I. And then I'll be back here with you on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for a Relaxed Frat House Saturday program. There's our lineup. And if you need any more, one more thing you can do, get over and, well, look us up over on Facebook, Frat House Sports, Lee Spaces in between. Look for our little purple icon. In the meantime, thanks, guys. Appreciate you all being here. And one more thing everybody else out there needs to do. Get out there. Enjoy what's left of Major League Baseball. Well, this season.